You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. That All Marine Radio built. Hope you're having a good Friday morning. It's my house. Wherever you are. I don't know why I like that, but I do. I don't know that you have plans, so whether it be relax or get to the beach or get to the lake or wherever you go, whatever you do, that you're going to have time to have enjoy a weekend that involves whatever you like to do and a little bit of relaxing, a little bit of family, and a whole lot of fun. So I hope you got that on the menu. I'll be traveling tomorrow, going to a high school football game tonight, which I'm looking forward to. And then traveling most of the day tomorrow, get back, get to see Jack and Joe, and get to sleep in my own bed. But I have to tell you, I mean, I've had an absolutely spectacular week here in North Carolina at Camp Lejeune, and it's hard for me to even put it into words. The people that I run across, and the things they tell me about the way that post-traumatic winning has changed their life. So, I can't say enough how exciting this has been. And it just keeps getting better. I mean, when you meet people every day that say, oh, you know, I saw you when you were here in March, or I saw you when you were here in January, and yeah, you know, it changed my life. I was really struggling before that, and I know that it's part of it. I help other people now. I know what to do. And that whole thing, I know what to do thing is, I think that's the thing that makes me happiest, because when I thought about what post-traumatic winning should be, I mean, the wisdom comes from our culture, right? So, I mean, I was very fortunate to be given lessons from my company, Gunny. That's why. The day of a helicopter crash. And he gave me the tribal wisdom that comes from the culture of the United States Marine Corps. And I count my blessings that, you know, that he was there that day and he helped me. And so, you know, as I listened to more and more people tell me their stories, and then I started hearing the same things over and over again, and then I thought, well, I should write these things down. In my mind was kind of the way everybody kind of gropes through life when trauma enters, to try to make sense of it, to try to, you know, how you scuffle with it, how do you learn, and then ultimately trying to coexist with it, you know, ultimately trying to surf with it. How do you do that? How do you learn to surf with that? And, you know, it's hard. It's not easy. And I had to learn how to do that. And so, but as I listened to other people and I heard their stories over and over again, and they started to sound the same, that's when the light went on and said, you know what, you should do something with this. You should take these truths that you've heard of, and if you can give them to people and you can get it in front of them, then maybe when they go through it, they're not going to feel that lost feeling. They're not going to feel like, what is going on? And they're not going to spend years trying to get over something that they're not going to get over. And they're not going to walk up to somebody and say, how come nobody ever told me I wasn't going to get over it? So when I hear people come up to me and say, you know, this happened in my life, or that happened in my life, and you know what? Because of your class, I felt like I knew what to do. I felt I knew not only, you know, the things I needed to do for me, but I knew that I could help the people around me. And I have. And so, I mean, I don't even know rightly if I can put into words how cool that is, that in fact actually does happen. And that's what this week has been about. This week has been about meeting people that have seen it, and people coming up to you and talking about it. And it's just been an absolutely fantastic experience coming back here and seeing the power of post-traumatic winning. Sometimes I'm speechless, which doesn't happen to me very often. It's been very cool. Yesterday, did post-traumatic winning with spouses, which is one of my, favorite, you know, versions to do. And it's essentially the same version, but spouses, you know, they're different. Spouses are different. They tend to be the shock absorber. They tend to be the bumper. They take the brunt and they see behind the curtain. So that even though we may fake it with others, we can't fake it with them. And they know the truth. They know how much we are. They know the truth about how hurt we are, or how much we're struggling, we may be able to fake our way through interaction with other people. Our spouses tend to know. So when you say things like, you know, they need to talk to you and whatnot. The reaction you get from them is completely different than that which you get from other people. So, and then we did it outside at the golf course here at Camp Lejeune. The indoor pavilion, we could have only used for a couple hours, and the presentation runs longer than that. And but it's just really cool to hear their feedback and to hear their thoughts, and you know, and to hear that, you know, well, you know, I've had some of these thoughts, but oh my, you know, you're further down the road than I certainly am, and it was just so nice to sit in here and have things that I've thought and conclusions that I've come to on my own, have them affirmed by somebody who's coming at this in a different way and who I've never met. So again, I mean, it's just, it was very cool. And doing it outside was fun. I've done it outside before in 29 Palms, so no stranger to it. And the biggest challenge is to make sure that the light, there's enough shade to actually see the screen so that the power of the presentation comes through. And in the audio, in the audio tends to be never to be the issue. The video does. So as long as you can kind of sort of get close on that, then it's all good. And it was all good today. Very fun and to do, and had a great time doing it. And then I went to lunch with somebody, and he had seen post-traumatic winning, and then somebody in his family had committed suicide, and he told me that, you know, he felt like he knew what to do, and you know that and so it's very interesting, you know, talking to him about it and what he thought was important and how it's affected him, and he thinks how that he's been able to cope better with it. And again, you know, he's funny when he talks about it, because he said, yeah, I was pissed because I was not happy going to that class. I did not want to go. But, you know, we all had to. And I walked out of that class, and I, you know, holy smokes, man. I didn't realize that was going to be like that. But again, he's one of the ones that said, when it happened, I knew, your class was in my head, and I had a guide to how to get through this. And like I said, I mean, I don't know if there's words to express how cool that is. So. Anyway, happy Labor Day to everybody coming up, and happy Friday to everybody else, and happy birthday to my 16-year-old daughter, Colleen, who turned 16 this week. I probably haven't said that enough, but I get home tomorrow, and we'll go do some birthday shopping. So on Friday, as is our custom, Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. Good morning to you.
Who's
kills it like she does every Friday, so my congratulations to her. And you know, and again, whenever I talk about her, what a horrible story. You know, so anyway, but it's the eve of a 3-day weekend. I haven't paid too much attention to the news. I'm going to have to do that when I get home. And over the weekend, I've been paying attention to post-traumatic winning, which is probably well that and good that I should do so. So I've got to get back to the news. Talked about General Mattis's book coming out and his criticism of the president yesterday. And how I believe that generals of the United States military have a special obligation to the country first. And they are not politically elected, and civilians run the military. But if you think they're making grave mistakes, you have a moral obligation to the nation to dissent. And if it means you have to resign to dissent, then that's what you should do. And so I applaud his example. I don't think it happens enough, and all you have to do is look at our most recent efforts in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and to see what happens when general officers, I think, are asleep at the wheel, when they don't do what they're supposed to do. The nation goes down a path that it shouldn't go down, and trillions of dollars later, and hundreds of thousands of lives later, we find ourselves not being able to fashion the things we want to fashion in places that we have undertaken armed conflict. And we shouldn't be escorted to those places by the general officers of the American military when it's inappropriate for the nation. And so so if you want to listen to that, I talked about that yesterday. Yeah, and yesterday, listen to this. So I've done it 2 days in a row. I record the show. I get everything ready. But right at 11 o'clock Eastern time, I'm doing post-traumatic winning. Yeah, I'm like 2/3 of the way through it. But normally, I have an alarm on my phone that 5 minutes before it goes off, and I have it in my pocket. It vibrates, and I go, oh. And then I hit the right programs on my phone. I tunnel into my my desktop at home, and I hit, shoot, fire. I forgot to do it for the second day in a row. I screwed it up. So, Ohio man says, hey, man. I was like, shit. So I fired it off late. So, with apologies. I'll try not to screw that up today because this is recorded as well. Because I'm doing post-traumatic winning as you're listening to this. So, yeah. That did not make me happy. So, this is dedicated to the Marines and Sailors of the 2nd Marine Division. They have been gracious hosts, especially Lieutenant Colonel Will Moore, who's coordinated the whole thing. He's the G-10 for the 2nd Marine Division. And the Comm Marines that have gone to every venue that we've done this in and made sure that everything works. And everybody's been fantastic. So, my thanks to them as gracious hosts this week for post-traumatic winning, and I hope great things continue to happen. So this is dedicated to those Marines. Thank you very much for all your hard work and effort. It's for a good cause. I know that.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake but learn. We don't want to lose but learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Winning on Labor Day. All right. We'll check a few weather, a few temperatures. You know, I don't really feel like doing the weather right now. Yeah. Talk about the extended forecast for Southern California. How about that? I feel like talking about that. What's it going to be like for me over the weekend? Does that make me too egocentric in my outlook on life? Looking for a high of 79 degrees. I'm sorry, a high of 84 today with a 10% chance of rain? Southern California? What is that? Overnight low Friday night of 68, up to 82 on Saturday. That's all right. Tonight low of 69. Maybe get the 5-day forecast on it. Get me through the weekend and see what's happening. Should be a beautiful weekend, though. Come on. After all, it is California. Hello. All right. Saturday, sunny in 82. Winds out of the southwest at 12. On Sunday, sunny in 84. Winds out of the south-southwest at 12. And on Monday, partly cloudy, 83 degrees. Winds out of the south at 12 miles an hour. And then on Tuesday, sunny in 84, so low 80s for Southern California through the weekend. So wherever you are, I hope you have great weather for the weekend. I was remiss yesterday. Yeah, it was Montana Man's birthday. Yeah, Montana Man. I don't even know how old he is, and I probably should know that. An august man like himself, has a birthday, and I'm not sure exactly how old he is. So, anyway, to Montana Man, you know, happy birthday. All right. Now, I'm not exactly sure if this is the right version, but I think it is. So my favorite version of Happy Birthday is the one the lovely Marilyn Monroe sings to John F. Kennedy. Yeah. So this dedicated to Montana Man, man. Happy birthday, Big Shooter. Montana Man. So happy birthday, big timer. We'll take a break. The chef's going to join us next at the 30-minute mark, so a little bit different this getaway day. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. We'll talk about Labor Day food. We'll see if he has any recommendations for us and maybe even get a suggestion on a Labor Day dessert. So Labor Day is really not associated with any food dish, right? So 4th of July, burgers, brats, right? So Labor Day, not so much. So we'll see if he has any ideas. So don't touch that dial. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
When you hear that song, it's music music for the ship. So joining us from his lair in Grand Forks, North Dakota, is the ship himself, Kim Holmes. Kim, how are you?
Good afternoon, everyone. Good morning, I should say.
There you go.
It's gorgeous. It's not too hot. It's about 70 degrees, clear skies. We're in the 70-degree weather now. I know it's coming, and I'm not happy about it.
But it can stay. No, it'll stay nice through October, right? I mean, you never know if it comes.
Yeah, it should. Yeah, it should. It should stay nice through October. Usually, the weather doesn't break until sometime in November, and you never know.
One never knows.
You might get lucky.
There you go. You might get lucky. The Labor Day coming up, 3-day weekend. The last weekend at the lake, people going to the beach and going to their vacation places, tends to be like all 3-day weekends tends to be a good eating weekend. And, so it's probably,
very much so.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing that, that we have you on today. Is Labor Day known in terms of food circles for anything? I was racking my brain. Fourth of July.
You know, it depends where you are. what you're doing. Sometimes it's a family get together, like most holidays. Right. But generally, it's families just doing their own thing, barbecuing.
Yeah,
but
we always hung out
at home and barbecued.
But I know, but like with 4th of July, right, you think of hot dogs and, you know, hamburgers and whatnot. I mean, for whatever reason associated for the fourth of July,
yeah,
you know, and different holidays, you know, Easter ham, Thanksgiving turkey.
Yeah.
But there's no really culinary theme to Labor
Day. You know what reminds me of Labor Day growing up?
What?
In Ohio, barbecued chicken wings.
Really?
Tons and tons of barbecued chicken wings and potato salad and corn on the cob. That's what comes to mind when I think of Labor Day in Ohio.
No kidding. Why?
Yeah.
Why was
yeah.
there somebody? Did you go someplace where people? You know.
No, mom, and dad pulled out the Weber started charring them up.
did they char it up?
They finally caught on with the sauce thing, but at the start it was charred.
Nice.
Char City. But after a while they figured it out and said, "Oh yeah, we'll just brown them up and then barbecue the sauce at the end." And man, I couldn't eat enough wings. I mean, it was just a thing.
I'd never had them until I met my in-laws, and they were from Buffalo. And
yes,
they did their wings a little bit different. They did in a kind of a wok. They use Dixie fry and put in some their own herbs and spices, and so that's how they did theirs, and then so really what you got a lot of skin, a lot of salt, Dixie fry, you know, crust on it, the shell,
yes.
And oh my God, I remember when the first time I had those. I couldn't believe, you know, just sit there and eat them and with something cold and carbonated to drink.
It was,
oh my God, it was the best. It was just sit there with a whole pile of bones on your plate.
And that's all there is on your plate, just bones.
No.
Everything is picked clean.
My father-in-law, God rest his soul, the doc, you know, 6'8". I mean,
yeah.
He could do things with a chicken bone that you would like. There was nothing on it. There was no cartilage. There was nothing. You look at that bone, you're like, what just happened? Did it go through a car wash?
That's what they used to say about me. You're not supposed to eat that.
Why are you looking at
I did. Cartilage and all.
Why are you looking at my food like that?
Yeah, that was so much fun though. Oh my gosh, and my brother was the same after he got a little older. He's got into it, and our barbecue sauce was more on the sweet side as opposed to the buffalo wing sauce, which is real hot. And spicy.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not a big really hot guy.
I'm not either. I like the sweet side.
But yeah,
I don't mind a little heat, but I don't like just
heat for heat.
That's all you get, and your lips are on fire. And what's the point?
Yeah, I don't.
You know, just
I can't
drink a bottle of hot sauce.
Well, you know,
and I know that's not how most people think. They crave it, but. I'm not one of them.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not. I ain't like that. The chicken wing. So I got introduced to it in the early '80s, and
yeah.
I'd never been around it in my life. Had never still to this day, I've never been to Buffalo, but the chicken wing explodes on America's culinary taste buds at some point, and then
it's you.
Right,
yeah.
And then everybody does them, and there's like only about a gazillion different ways to do it, for God's sake. I mean,
that sauces, whether you boil them first or you put them in the oven and bake them first, or you drop them raw into the deep fryer, and then you pull them out, and then you sauce them. Just a gazillion types of sauces.
Oh, my God.
From sweet to savory, all kinds of stuff.
Right. And whether you fry them or bake, and everything, any combination in between. The chicken wing, right, just became an incredible, dish, especially, if you're watching sports or you go into a bar, chicken wings, man, come on, it's the best. And so,
And for me, I like the whole chicken wing. I don't like just drummies. I want to get in there and suck the skin and the meat off the bones, and then you go after the drummy. But the little tube bone part of the wing,
yeah,
and even the very tip of the wing, there's sauce and skin on there, and stuff you can suck on.
Oh my God.
And chew on. It's just. It's a real ritual for me.
Well, if it's sauced and done right, that's my father-in-law. He would sit there, and right by the time he was done with that thing, you'd look at it and it was like,
what happened?
Yeah, kidding. There was nothing left, and he would have a little bit of sweat on like his upper lip and his forehead.
Yeah.
You'd be like, what the hell, man? And, I mean, I think it was one of his favorite dishes, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Do you have a favorite kind of chicken wing?
The bigger, the better.
Really? Big chicken wing?
Big chicken wings. Not turkey wings, though I've had those. They're okay, but they don't touch a real chicken wing.
A lot of people, who? Our buddy Bonzer, that was one of his rituals, right?
Yes, it was.
When does he do that? Does he do it like the week before Thanksgiving? Is that when he does the turkey wings?
It's the week before Thanksgiving, yes. Yeah, he'll brew up a whole batch of turkey wings. They're great, too. And you only really need... Depends on the size of the turkey, but usually two or three wings just about set you down, if they're done properly
Enough. Those are big wings, right? Those are big wings. Turkey.
Yes,
wings.
They are. Very big.
Are they prepared essentially the same way?
I think a lot of people will boil them for a little bit, and then they'll fry them, or they might even just boil them, put them in the refrigerator overnight, and then pull them out the next day, and then fry them up.
What's the
toss them in sauce.
What's the point of boiling them?
Just cooking them faster.
Oh, so it cooks the meat a little bit, and so...
Meat a little bit, and then they don't have to be in the fryer that long.
Got it.
And the skin won't burn.
Got it. So you're taking care of what's inside.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
That's
blah.
Right.
Oh, got it. Kathleen used to do that with her barbecue chicken. She would she would bake it for 20 minutes or so. And then all she was doing, she essentially threw it on the grill to brown it.
Yes. Yeah. And then you cook the meat through a little bit when you bake it like that. And you can boil it too. You can boil the parts too.
Ooh.
And then
I don't like to boil. I'm not like boiling I don't like that. Yeah. I mean, don't you cook away a lot of the flavor when you boil?
You do. You can if you leave them on too long. But actually, you're right. The best way to do it is just to bake them, and not too hot, but just bake them, and before you throw them on the grill, and then you get a double crust kind of thing.
Ooh.
And that's real sweet. Then the skin is crunchier, not charred or anything. It just gets that special little crunch to it.
What's the in terms of cooking? Is there any? Let me ask you. You know, I say we, but you know, my former wife Susan, the lovely Susan.
Yes.
Well, we can't forget Colleen celebrated her 16th birthday this week.
We sent her a card.
Did you? I wasn't home for it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't around for her birthday.
Well, we sent it to her mom's house.
There you go. That's it. That's a good call. Yeah. So when Susan does it, she uses a wok.
Uh-huh. Very good.
Right. And so how do you get the oil as hot as you can? Is there any method to that?
Usually, I'm frying it up.
Right, I'm frying stupid. Okay, so I've never fried. I don't think I've ever fried anything in my life other than like I fried bacon, but I don't. That's not what we're doing here. What would you call? Are you deep frying? What would you call this?
Well, you're not deep frying it in a wok. I think what you're doing is, you know, say you, I like sesame oil in a wok, and you have to, turn them, you know, you've got a spatula, one of those, it's a Chinese spatula, it's kind of round, it's metal, it has holes in it, and you keep the things moving so they don't burn.
I'm trying to think if Susan does that, or she just lowers them in the oil.
Well, maybe she does do that. And then,
I mean, so the wok that she uses would be filled up, maybe half the way up with oil. I mean, there's a lot.
Well, then that's a whole different kettle. That's deep frying.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she deep fries them.
Yeah, that's what she's doing.
Right. So with that, is there any difference? I mean, obviously, if the hotter the oil, the quicker the external part of the wing is going to cook. How do you do that?
You don't want to get the oil any hotter than 375, because if it's hotter than that, then the outside will cook faster. It's a little better with wings because it's a little unit of chicken meat.
Got it.
You don't want the oil to start smoking. And if you get over 375 degrees, the oil will start to smoke and break down.
Ooh.
And then it ruins the flavor of the chicken wings.
Oh, I should probably know something like that because what I would do is I would crank that. It should be on high, right? We're gonna fry this shit, right?
So you've got a thermostat, so you check that and make sure. I would say if you just had a electric or gas, you would go medium high, medium to medium high, not high, because high you're getting over 400 degrees and then you're gonna smoke up your kitchen unless you have a commercial exhaust fan, and it just ruins the product.
All right. So, if you have a thermometer, I would think you'd be using that, yes, to gauge the temperature.
Yes, you would. Yes,
Marlon.
And now, here's another thing. If you are doing that, you pull the wings out. You make sure they're patted dry,
right?
Because if they're not patted dry, if there's any water on there, it'll start spitting and spattering. the oil around when it hits, when the wings hit the water. Hit the oil. If there's water on the wings.
So what's the technique you use to dry them?
I pat dry them with a towel.
Okay,
paper towels.
So do you dump the bag of wings into a strainer, shake that out, and then dump those into a paper towel?
First of all, the wings have to be at room temperature.
Got it.
Here we go back to the when we're cooking meat or fish. Remember, we always try and keep things at room temperature, because when you drop something that's ice cold into oil, what that does, it lowers the oil temperature. Say you check it at 375. All right, baby, I'm going to dump my wings in. And all of a sudden, the temperature, the wings are cold or just frozen. The oil temperature will drop from 375 to about 300 in no time flat. And then it takes all of 10 minutes for the oil to get back up to 375. In the meantime, that kind of not so hot, it's hot enough to burn the hell out of you. But it soaks in, and it doesn't, it makes things soggier. You understand? You want the temperature of the oil to stay as close to 375 when you drop your chicken wings in as possible. That way the skin will stay, will crisp up, they'll cook evenly, and you mix them around. You don't just dump them in and walk away and do something else. You have to pay attention. Wings, they cook pretty quick. So it's just something you pay attention, and then you take them out and you make sure you drain the oil off it. You know, shake the oil off before you throw the wings. They'll be all nice and crispy. But have a big stainless bowl with your sauce or whatever kind of sauce you use it in the bowl, and throw the wings right in there and then toss them around. And now that'll coat evenly all the wings. And then you'll be in the front row and you can get into it. And you'll have the flavor of the sauce, but you also, if you do it right, and you'll have the crunch of that skin and then the tenderness of the chicken. So that's how I would do it. But, yes, you don't want to throw frozen anything. That's what a lot of restaurants will do, is they'll take their stuff out of the bags that are in the freezer next to the deep fryer, and they chuck them right in. Now, with me and my French fries, you know how militant I was about my French fries. You know, I took them out of the freezer, and then I put them in a refrigerator and let them thaw out and just be refrigerator temperature. And then you drop them in small batches. You don't just dump a whole bag of French fries in the deep fryer. You know, you drop them in, you know, maybe half a basket at a time, and then shake it. When you drop it into the fryer, you shake them up. And it's the same with the wings. You have to move them around so the oil, the heat gets all over the wings. And that's the way you ride that boat.
Talk to me about, so when we pull them out, I should say
yes.
We, because I never do it. So when Susan pulls them out, she she has a pan that she uses, and she what does she do? She has paper towels in them.
Yes, there we go.
And then she'll put seasoning salt on them. And then she just the next layer goes on top of that, more seasoning salt, the next layer on top of that. Does that sound familiar, or is there other ways that you would recommend?
Well, no, I would highly recommend you have a, she has a sheet pan that's lined with a paper towel, and she'll take those wings out and spread them all over the towel, paper towels, so it drains. She might even take a paper towel and pat the top of them, and then she'll season them with whatever seasoning she's going to season them with.
Right.
And then, if she's saucing them, she'll throw them into a bowl that has the sauce in there, and then she mixes them again in the sauce. So they have the seasoning, whatever her seasoning, salt or pepper or salt even, however she's doing it, and then she throws it into whatever sauce she's going to use. That's how I think she does it. You'd have to verify that with her. But well, that's what I assume she would do.
No, I don't. She uses, the way their family did it was blue cheese dressing, which is the traditional, right, Buffalo Wild Wing dressing. Or I won't say Wild Wing, but the Buffalo Wing dressing. And but I know that their recipe was their own. And again, I'd never heard of it because this is before, you know, this thing went viral in the country. So it's blue cheese dressing
I don't know, Mac. Maybe what she does.
Lowry seasoned salt. It's Lowry seasoned salt. They come out.
Okay.
They get piled in the what would it be? It'd be like an 11 inch by like 7 inch or something like that pie, flat cake. Mixer, something like that.
Yeah.
So that, and then they just get piled on top of each other, and they get salted. And if you don't like,
and then you have a side of blue cheese dressing, right, Mac?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Boom.
So she doesn't sauce her wings.
No.
Just the Lowry's seasoning salt, blue cheese dressing.
Yep.
With the accompaniment of carrots and celery sticks.
No, nobody wastes time on that.
Nobody wastes time on celery sticks in your house.
when you got all that salt and skin and that chicken wing meat and something cold to drink, you know, come on, nobody's going near either celery or anything else.
That takes up space.
Takes up time. Somebody else getting another chicken wing before you. I think for culinary and sentimental reasons, that's my favorite kind of chicken wing. Do you have a favorite kind of chicken wing that you guys make?
We don't make chicken wings.
Oh, you don't? You're healthy eating, right?
Yeah, I'm healthy eating now. Beth would bake them in the oven until they're nice and crispy. And then she would throw them we'd have a stainless bowl with either, the Sanders barbecue sauce or she would do an Asian sauce that has hoisin and soy, a little ginger in there, and green onions. And then she'd toss the wings in there. Those are my two favorite. But I like them after they're baked. We don't do a lot of deep frying here in our house, just because it's too messy and for her.
It is a pain, right? I mean, to clean up out.
Yeah, it is. But Beth makes the best egg rolls outside of Chinatown.
Oh, really?
I mean, I don't know how she learned, but they're exceptional. She had some egg rolls she made for me when I came over to her place for a supper one night.
When you were dating?
God. When we were dating, yeah.
Oh, and that's what sealed the deal? She closed it on her.
Yeah, I thought, here's the deal. She has this platter about 3 feet around, about 3 feet long and about 2 feet wide, and it has chicken wings. It has egg rolls. It has, cheeses. It has cold cuts. It had, just about a dozen different things. And dumb me, I said, wow, this is gorgeous. Where did you order this? Yeah, I was dumb enough to say, God, this is beautiful. Where did you order it?
Why would you say that? You're like smarter than that. No,
I wasn't, because I thought it was commercial. It was so magnificent. I thought maybe I'd done it and didn't know I did it. It was magnificent. Where did you get this?
How did you get out of
it? I made it myself, dummy. I went, oh God, I apologized all night as I waded myself through almost the whole guy's damn platter. She is a hell of a cook, but the egg rolls, they were pretty remarkable. But yeah, she's good. Yeah, where did you get this?
Well, you know, some mistakes men make once in their life, right? And then you learn, never to say that.
Never forget it. Never live it down. And then one time I showed up for another date, and I was late, and the food was sitting on the table. And I said, geez, it's a little cool, isn't it? Well, you're half an hour late. Heat it up. There's a microwave over there.
Oh.
Another lesson. Lesson learned, Matt. Be on time. And anybody should know better than me. You know, what happened at 6 o'clock? If you didn't show up at the dinner table, you didn't eat.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're late. You don't eat.
Yeah,
that's how I grew up. To miss a dinner, and knowing how well she cooks, just a stupid mistake. She still married me. I can't believe it. I'm the luckiest man in the world.
The beauty of cell phones now is if you're running late, right? You don't got to go stop and find money in your pocket to make a phone call from a payphone, but now it's a little bit easy. Hey, before you get going, I'm running 15 minutes late, you know. So, okay. Yeah. It's much easier now to coordinate schedules. The other one that I vividly remember as a teenager is the one, and I've never done it since, is I asked the woman, you know, when she was due, and she wasn't pregnant. And I was bagging groceries. I was maybe 19, and I'm walking out to the car. I'm walking out the car to this woman to put her groceries in the back seat, and we're, you know, yeah. So you're walking next to her. You know, hi, how are you? I'm fine. You know, when are you due? And she looked at me. She said, I'm not pregnant. And it was the longest, like, 90 seconds of my life. You know, I apologized, and oh my God, I mean, it was horrible. And you could be 17 months pregnant, right? And Mac is never going to say a word. Hey, how are you? Good, good, good. You look great. Thank you. I'm 8.5 months pregnant. Oh, really? Didn't notice. Yeah, I'm not saying shit.
Didn't notice.
I'm not saying shit.
I don't either.
I'm still scarred. I'm still scarred by it, but, yeah.
It's obvious.
Oh, no. I felt horrible that I said, you know, and then later on, I probably told my mom, right, and she looked at me. She said, don't ever ask a woman if she's pregnant.
Yeah.
I said, oh, you tell me now after I've learned the lesson, what good is that to me? She's like, well, one would think that maybe you engage your brain before you engage your mouth. And I said, I didn't. I was stupid. I didn't know. But yeah, I'm still scarred. So yeah. Any other kind of the last big weekend in the summer? Anything that you would say? Hey, why don't you try this for Labor Day?
Oh, give us something. My standards. I have, you know, corn on the cob is my second go-to besides wings. Because there's such a short window for corn, and if you can get it when it's been picked that day and the starch hasn't left, the sweetness hasn't gone out of the corn, I discovered about cooking corn in a microwave. And did I tell you that last week?
Wait a minute. My headset just malfunctioned because I thought I heard you say, I discovered cooking corn in the microwave, and you don't even normally say those words, microwave.
Yes. Well, I was given at a board meeting at the condo association. This guy just came from his dad's farm, and he gave me a couple of ears of corn. And he said, put these two ears of corn in a microwave, set it on 4 minutes, and then cut off one end, the end that is attached to the stalk, cut that about 2-3 inches in, and then have a glove and hold the silky end of it, the pointed end, and the corn just pops right out of the husk. No silk, no strings, nothing but pure succulent corn. Everybody out there knows what the hell
I have no idea what you're talking about. So 4 minutes with the husk on in the microwave.
In the microwave. And then cut the end off so it's attached to the stalk.
Right.
And have a hot towel or glove.
Right.
And squeeze the end that's cut. You squeeze the other end, and the whole ear of corn will pop out without any husks on it or silk, you know, the stringy shit that makes us crazy when you're cleaning corn.
Right, right.
And all you have to do is just dive for the butter and the salt and pepper. And that is it. And I was dumbfounded. I says, I'm 75 years old. How did I never know this? Not know this. This is the slickest thing. And I said, I called him up the next day and I said, the next time you're leaving your dad's farm, could I have a couple more ears of corn? It was spectacular. And no mess. I just squeezed it out on a paper plate, threw the rest of it, everything just folded up in a piece of newspaper and threw it in a trash can, and my wife loved me. She says, where's the mess? I says, I know. Can you believe it? She says, yeah, yeah.
I said,
well, why didn't you tell me? She says, I know the attitude you have about microwaves.
Oh, really?
I says,
but
I'll never cook corn any other way
Too easy, right?
Oh, God. If you like corn and you can get it fresh, that's the way to go. That is absolutely the way to go. And it's really remarkable. I'm just astounded. that it happened to me.
Yes,
this late in life.
Well, you're never too old to learn something new.
No.
Right?
Boy, that was exactly right, Mac. And it was a real eye-opener for me, I tell you. I ask people, have you ever cooked corn in a microwave? Yeah, I do it all the time.
Really?
I've
never seen anybody do that.
I haven't either. But I've asked around the condo now that I've, a disciple microwave corn on the cob. And we do it when we're in a hurry. Well, why would you sit and peel corn and wait for your water to boil, then throw it in, and then set your timer, then pull it out and drain it, or leave the ears you're not going to eat in the hot water? No, baby, just cook two at a time, and you just go for it. Man, is that slick. I was very impressed.
Wow.
And if you get a chance to try it, Mac, do so.
Well, yeah, because, really the prohibitive event is husking the corn.
Yes. Yes. Hello. It's stupid easy. And I had no idea. I was clueless.
How for people that don't go to farmers markets and don't buy corn really fresh off the farm, how good is that when it's just recently cut, harvested?
Yes. Yeah, it's just magic, I'm telling you.
It is like
short window.
It is no butter. I mean, you just eat it plain.
No, you don't eat anything.
Yeah, that's how good it is. That's how good it is. So.
But it has to be fresh because each day the sugar goes out of the starch in the corn, and then you need the croutons of butter and salt and pepper. But, boy, when it's fresh off the husk, you're in the front row. Just go for it. And you don't need anything. It's so sweet. Oh, my goodness.
Right. No, that was one of the things about moving to North Dakota when we moved. You got a chance to eat, sweet corn, which, I was kind of raised on yellow corn, on the cob. I don't even know that I had seen, like, white, sweet corn on the cob. And so the first time I had it, I was like stunned. I was stunned because it is absolutely delicious. Did you have any, what was your biggest culinary surprise when you moved to North Dakota?
I guess the biggest culinary surprise was how delicious walleye was, the northern pike. The fish that everyone eats around here, everybody catches it, and they have a special way they cook it. And I developed mine, thanks to Bob. But I'd say walleye was the biggest surprise for me because I thought, walleye is white fish, so what? Well, it's just delicious and very tender and sweet. Very good, very good fish. And different from halibut or swordfish or sea bass, though sea bass is pretty damn good, I tell you that.
Is there something about Chilean sea bass? Why? I mean, because that's what you, when you go to the store, you look and see how expensive that is. Is all sea bass created the same, or is some sea bass better than others?
Well, I've had sea bass from New Zealand, Hawaii, Pacific, off the, Washington State coast, South America. That's just a species, and that's where they first started the craze was because it, there was so much of it, and somebody did a good marketing campaign, I think. But now it's in from Chile, it's pretty much overfished. So, you know, wherever they can get sea bass, they it's all good.
All right.
So it's all good.
So it doesn't have to be Chilean.
No. It's not. It's like all from my mouth. You don't overcook fish. That's no matter how good the fish is. If you overcook it, you're going to ruin it. And so you have to pay attention when you're cooking fish.
All right.
That's a big deal.
Right. No, I remember the first time I had it, I was like, holy smokes, this is delicious. I had it in a, yeah, at a restaurant in Westwood up by UCLA. And yeah, it was bonbon. It was very good. It was very good. So yeah, I'm a fan of Chilean sea bass, and I can't remember.
Well, can get it in any restaurant. Beth always orders it when we go out, if they have it. She likes it, and they always cook it just right for her. Yeah, it's a good fish, and it's a thicker fish. It's a meatier. It's quite delicious, and also depends whether you want it cooked with salt and pepper and oil and then just served with lemon or lime, or whether it's sauced in whatever thing people are saucing things with today. It's hard to keep up. I always try whatever's new. Beth has this chimichurri, which is parsley and garlic and olive oil and some chili, red chilies. That's absolutely exquisite. Maybe some jalapeno diced up. Very, very good. And then you can do a pesto with basil. Yeah, there's lots of, I don't like the heavy sauces anymore. I like the herbal things like pesto or chimichurri with parsley and cilantro chopped up and with olive oil and salt and pepper and garlic. That's pretty hard to beat.
Give me a Labor Day dessert that you would recommend. We like it summer, so gotta have it. We always seem to like a little bit of fruit in our dessert. But
I would recommend, because the blueberries are running right now.
Yeah,
bet my brother was here with my sister, and he had a blueberry pie recipe that was spectacular. And you take about a half a cup of blueberries and some water and some sugar, and you mix it in a saucepan and kind of make a syrup, not a syrup, but like a sauce.
Right.
And then you have four, I think she used maybe six cups of blueberries the last time. And you just have a pie shell. She's shaking her head no.
No? Oh, yeah, that's not good.
Okay. Okay, blueberry pie. A tablespoon of butter. 2 tablespoons of corn syrup. 3/4 a cup of water.
Corn starch.
I'm sorry. two tablespoons of corn starch. She's screaming at me. I can't read her own writing. A tablespoon of lemon juice. 4 cups of blueberry. A pinch of salt. 3/4 cup of sugar.
But he uses half a cup.
And a 9-inch pie. And you make you dissolve the butter and the lemon juice. You add a cup of berries, blueberries, and a tablespoon of a tablespoon of water. Oh, the rest of the water. And then you bring that to a boil. And then you add cornstarch, butter, and sugar, and salt. And when thick, you cook for 2 to 3 minutes. And then the rest of the blueberries, you just add into the pie shell, just fresh blueberries, and then you spread the sauce over the rest of the to cover the blueberries, and then you put it in the refrigerator, and that's it. I'm going to send you a picture of the pie and the recipe, and it was delicious. Simple, fast, and you can do it a day ahead. You can do it in the morning, and it's very simple. You can serve it with whipped cream or ice cream. We just ate it straight up blueberry pie, and it was very good. And then one day she made a little whipped cream, which was equally as good. But that would be a great dessert this weekend.
There you have it, your Labor Day dessert recommendation. As summer slowly but surely slips in the rearview mirror, and people going up to Labor Day tends to be not the weekend that people close up. You know, especially in the Midwest where winter comes and you do have to close your cottage. A lot of people don't do that till the end of September. Go up on a weekend. And that weekend is expressly meant for closing things up. So this is kind of the last 3 day weekend that people get up there, and so it's not a small thing, and it's always kind of a most people back in school right now. Although Colleen is not, she goes back to school next week, and so.
So, I remember those days when you didn't have to go until after Labor Day.
Yeah. Now it's it's almost like a swap Memorial Day for Labor Day. So they get up before Memorial Day. And then, but I'll tell you what, I did not do well sitting in class when it was hotter than hell. I just made that wrong.
Me neither.
I didn't mean to, and Sacramento was really hot, man. I mean, it was over 100 degrees, and back in the day when there was no air conditioning in classes, and you were expected to learn. You know, what do you mean it's too hot to learn? Right? The windows are open. What do you want? And we used to get out. I want to say the middle of June and go back after Labor Day, but things kind of rolled right a little bit. I know in the Midwest it was get out before Memorial Day. So you get that 3 day weekend and you're back to school in either the second or the third week in August, which it's normally still pretty hot.
That's right. That's right.
All right, sir. First of all, thank you for doing this. I appreciate it. Have a great 3 day weekend.
My pleasure.
Have a great 3 day weekend, you and Miss B, and we will talk to you. Thank you.
I can't wait to talk again. You have a wonderful weekend and enjoy your stay in the East Coast.
Yeah, I'll be one more day, and then and then I'll go see you.
You'll see John and Susan and Finn.
No, they're down in Georgia, so I will not.
Wow.
Yeah, I will not see them. But the I will gonna go to a football game tomorrow night. Friends, watch my friend, his son play. Play high school football, so that'll be fun.
That's great.
Yeah,
way to go.
High school football. So then I'll fly back home Saturday, and I think we'll celebrate Colleen's birthday on Sunday. So pretty exciting stuff.
Okay, I sure hope she got her card.
No, I'm sure she did. Well, I will. Yeah. I will boot her in the ass if she has not texted you and said thank you.
Well, let's hope. Yeah. Don't you dare.
Oh, trust me.
She's okay.
Stand by. One.
Yes,
one boot.
She will.
One boot to Colleen's ass coming up.
Well, you have a wonderful weekend, and all my love to your family, and fly safely.
All right, bud. Thank you for the visit.
And I'll talk to you next week. You nice talking.
There you have it. That is,
bye-bye.
There you have it. That is the one and only All Marine Radio head chef here on what day of the week is it? On a Friday, of course.
Friday.
So anyway, that'll do it here, speaking of on a Friday. In case you don't know, I've had an awesome week. And finish up today here at Camp Lejeune with 2nd Marine Division, and then fly home. Get to see Jack and Joe tomorrow, which will be good. So, if you're getting to get out on the road, be careful, take your time, have a great weekend. I can't say how cool this week has been. Running into Marines that saw post-traumatic winning almost 9 months ago and listening to how it's impacted their stories. Oh, yeah, no, the stuff you taught us, I help people. It's just, honestly, it's very, very cool stuff. So again, the Marine 2nd Marine Division, man, doing great stuff. So, on a Friday, have a great weekend. All Marine Radio is over, and I am out.